Hey, this is Jonathan, and welcome to Your People First, the podcast that showcases HR and reward best practices. I'm delighted to have you here, and now it's time to put your people first.
This podcast is brought to you by Buddy, an HR and payroll software.
Con los giros differenti. No, no. Hi, this is Jonathan, and welcome to another show of Your People First. Today with me, I have Darren, who is an expert in employee benefits, at least from an occupational pension side. Welcome, Darren.
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great, Darren. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about what are maybe occupational pension? Because from what I understand, that's what you really focus on.
Sure. So basically, in a nutshell, an occupational pension scheme is when an employer sets up a pension scheme and opens it up to one or more of his employees. And where either the employee or both contribute to the scheme.
Okay, so it can be even selective. It's not just I need to do it for everyone. I can even open a scheme because I have one person that's conscious about their pension.
In fact, that is one of the beauty of the product, is where it can be custom made according to the company's needs and wants. A company can choose to open it up to all the employees, or it can also choose to open it up to a cohort of employees. It can choose to contribute, and it can choose not to contribute. But obviously, when not contributing, they would not be benefiting from the benefits that we will discuss later on.
Okay, no, that's very interesting. And I think when we're talking pensions, we know there are different layers. So we have the occupational, we have the retirement style, and then we hear about the tiers, like tier two, tier three. Exactly. Maybe you can give us a little bit of an explanation what the differences are.
Sure. So when the pensions legislation was enacted in 2015, the government created three pillars. The first being the government pension, whereby one would pay the NI contributions across their working lives, and when they come to retire at age 65, they would start taking the government pension. The second pillar are the actual occupational pension schemes that we'll be discussing today. And the third pillar is when someone on their own accord they invest in their own personal pension plan, and they are in full control of their pension plan.
Okay, so effectively we have three different levels that together can work to give someone maybe a living pension, let's call it that they could then work with once they retire.
Exactly. In fact, another important aspect from the legislation which came out is that these three pillars actually work together, and having one will not affect the benefits you get from the other.
Okay, that I think is very, very, very important.
I will delve into this a bit later, but there is, for example, a big misconception whereby, I might not get the government pension, if I invest in a pension plan. It is not the case. It is actually, having a personal pension plan, I will not get the benefits if I also invest in an occupational pension plan. One does not affect the other, as we will see later.
Exactly. Otherwise, obviously, you don't incentivize that whole thing. So obviously, you explained a little bit the different pillars over there. So as a business or as an employer or as an HR team, why would one look at introducing occupational pensions? I mean, you said they will already have a pension of the government and they can think of one of their own. So why does a business need to think about it?
So there are a number of advantages for doing so. Mostly being that it is a low-cost employee retention scheme. So basically, it is one way of how a company can attract and retain employees.
Okay. That's very interesting because we know that retaining employees is a challenge across the board, especially
yes.
with the current situation that you can't find good qualified people.
No, the fiscal incentives that come with it make it even more attractive. So basically, the main advantage of this all is that it is also low cost.
Okay.
As we will explain it.
No. Sounds good. So the key reason they're going for it is definitely employee retention. And on the flip side, why should an employee consider adding maybe to their retirement instead of asking for a salary increase?
Okay. So basically, the main challenge of it all is that nowadays we live in a culture where we want instant gratification. So currently, this new concept, because it's quite a new concept, is still kicking off, mainly because most employees would not ask for such a benefit.
Exactly, because everyone wants the money now.
Yes, and most common employee benefits are, for example, I don't know, subsidy on your mobile phones, on your mobile phone bills, gym memberships, bonuses, etc., etc. But most people are not conscious of what will happen when they are in the longest holiday of their lives.
Exactly,
and not being financially prepared, unfortunately, can make a big difference on how you spend this holiday.
No, obviously, because I think especially when we're talking about government provided pensions, we know they have an upper limit.
Yes, and the challenge is here. Basically, in the past, relying on government pension, one could have a decent basic lifestyle and could go by. Now, the problem is that because we are an aging population, there are more people who are retiring and less people working to finance the pensions of this ever-growing cohort.
No, exactly. And I think sometimes, unfortunately or unfortunately, it depends which side you see it, it gets compared to kind of pyramid scheme because you need people at the bottom that are working to support and subsidize. I think as the fertility rate goes lower and the age of retirees is going higher, so people are living longer, that equation is being stressed even more because
exactly.
The government pension system was invented Decades ago,
yes. What is happening and what will continue happening even more evidently is that the increase in pensions will not be enough to make up for inflation.
In fact, it's one of the challenges because I think over the last decade, if I'm not mistaken, the cost of living increase has been much lower than the highest rate of pension. So if the pension was increasing by 500 euros, don't take the last year, but any other year, the increase was less than 100, but the pension is increasing by 5. So who was paying Class D contributions 10 years ago now has fallen to Class C.
Yes, and in fact, we've seen also that inflation has picked up. So that makes it a bit even more of a problem. In Malta, we're a bit late in the day when it comes to pensions. But in my opinion, there was a reason for that. Whereas in other developed economies, it's been a very big challenge to increase the workforce. In Malta, we have foreigners coming over to work, and they are kind of making it easier for the government to finance the ever-growing pension bill. Why? Exactly. Because they are paying the NI. Pensioners are increasing, but the NI contributions are also increasing. So I see that one of the reasons why here in Malta took us long to do something about this problem, which will definitely which we will definitely see. Having foreign workers coming to Malta has kind of
alleviated the pain.
Exactly.
I think what's probably interesting, I mean, yes, maybe we have third country nurses which will not qualify for a pension, so that will be a bonus for the scheme. But in addition with that, all Europeans will be entitled to their pension regardless if they stay in Malta or not. So yes, that will definitely impact the long term.
Yes, definitely. In order to qualify for a pension, you would need to pay 12 years of NI.
Okay.
So a foreigner coming to Malta and working for less than 12 years, they would not be of any burden when it comes to the pension
system. Yes. I think anyone in Europe will transfer their contributions to their country, so that eventually will not stay in the pot.
Exactly. Realistically speaking. Yes.
So, but all third country nationals, that is, I think, one of the key reasons why we're pushing that agenda. Because if they don't stay 12 years, that's helping the short term while abating a longer term problem. Yeah. But yes, beyond obviously that pressure. So I presume then that pressure and maybe that financial understanding is what should drive an employee to start thinking about this. Obviously, I think one of the reasons you're here is also that maybe out there isn't enough information and knowledge about tomorrow's problem, because this is not a problem that will be here today.
There certainly needs to be an awareness campaign and an educational campaign with regards to retirement in general, not just when it comes to pensions. But yes, that is one of the key reasons why the uptake so far has been on the low side. Just to talk about a bit about numbers, the bank I work for, APS Bank, we commissioned an annual survey to see how the uptake of occupational pensions is evolving. And in last year's survey, it transpired that 97% of employees do not have an occupational pension scheme. This year's survey, there was a small improvement, but 96% still don't have one. So the process is very slow.
And in fact, it's something we've been interested in. As we're talking to some of the employees, we're like, would this be something you'd like to see? And as you mentioned, some of them are like, with the current inflationary pressures, I'd rather have money in my hands instead of think of tomorrow's pension.
Yes. First of all, it's human nature to want something instantly. And yes, with this new phenomenon of inflation, obviously most people are now a bit tighter, so they would appreciate more to have something instant.
That's the biggest challenge we need to overcome. Obviously, other countries maybe have overcome it by introducing something like auto-enrollment.
Yes.
I know that we maybe mentioned it briefly. Maybe what's the concept for anyone that's listening?
Yes, so auto-enrollment is a system whereby companies are required to offer an occupational pension scheme to their employees, but the employee has the option to opt out. Now, most developed countries have these in place. But before these were in place, they had the same problem as we have in Malta, where the uptake of investing in a pension plan being very low. So it's not just a local, it's not something which is a problem in Malta. So the natural thing of how this would evolve is that eventually the government would introduce the auto-enrollment concept.
Because that is how it's protecting the long-term interest of the population.
Yes, and of the and of the government too. Why? Because if you have a large cohort of the economy, of the population, not spending, now as we move forward, there are going to be many more pensioners than there are today or that were there were yesterday. So it is very important that these people are spending money, or else it could have a detrimental effect on the economy. So it is in the government's interest to make sure that this problem is tackled as early as possible.
Okay, that's very interesting. Well, then it's projecting the whole financial future of a country which is dependent on pensioners actually going out spending and enjoying their time, exactly, and not just staying at home and practically keeping the money in the bank.
Exactly.
Let's call it that. So when someone maybe is considering or interested in maybe asking their employer for an occupational pension, is there a good time or an age where they should be able to do this?
Okay. So anyone below the age of 70 can enroll into a pension plan. Obviously, enrolling into a pension plan in your late 60s doesn't really make sense, but the legislation gives you that possibility. So basically, firstly, if someone wants to invest in a pension plan, they can obviously go to the third pillar scheme, which is the personal pension plan. But it would be much easier, as we'll discuss later on, when an employer sets up a scheme, because it gives the opportunity to all his employees to save for their pension, access the tax rebate benefit, and not having to open bank accounts with that particular bank or provider.
It takes the administrative burden away from the person.
From the person, yes. Mind you, the administrative part of an occupational pension scheme is very simple as well. So that's another detriment that we kind of, when we're discussing with companies, they think that it's this kind of, you know, very complicated thing and process, and it will be time consuming. Basically, the administration of it all, once set up, is very, very small. Why? Because the administration part of it is done by the provider.
Okay, so I would presume it would be just a question of, I have these employees,
an Excel sheet every month, which would remain the same unless an employee leaves.
Exactly, or I presume that could be done part of payroll, probably.
Needs to pass through payroll, in fact. That's one of the conditions, actually, that an occupational pension scheme needs to be paid via payroll.
Okay,
in order to be eligible for the tax rebate.
Exactly, because then it's submitted part of the FS3,
yes,
I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
So yes, then it goes through payroll. Payroll does the work, and you just get a final report, which you're processing every month to make sure that, and you're getting the payment from
exactly,
the business.
Exactly, which matches the report.
Perfect. So that seems quite straightforward in terms of doing it. So then we mentioned earlier some financial incentives, both for the employee and the employer.
Yes.
Maybe we can delve into a bit what they are and maybe the added benefit, why you should do it. Because we're thinking long term, we're thinking benefits, there are financials.
So basically, when contributing towards an employee's pension pot, the company would receive a 25% tax rebate of whatever it of whatever it contributed to that employee, up to a maximum of 3,000 euro in contributions. So the maximum tax rebate per employee is 750 euro. But also, the company can offset it as an expense.
Okay, so...
So if the company is paying 35%, they can offset whatever they contribute as an expense and get a 35% tax savings. Tax savings.
Exactly. Right? So I'm getting a 35% tax savings plus another 25 that I got back.
So, in short or in simple terms, contributing 100 euro per month into an employee's pension pot would cost the company 40 euro. With a small disclaimer here, if the company is paying 35% tax.
Exactly, because if they have reduced rate, then it's
paying 5%. If it's an international company registered in Malta and is paying 5%, the tax offset would obviously be 5%.
But for any Maltese business in particular, this is a very good incentive and a differentiator that they can apply.
Yes.
So an effective for us to 10 is a very interesting way of saying I've put in more without necessarily having the same.
Yes. So basically, local companies would get 60% of the amount refunded, whereas foreign companies would get 30%.
There's something an advantage to Maltese companies.
There are many tax advantages which I'll delve into later. But another advantage of this all is that if in a particular year or years the company is not profitable, they can move forward the tax rebate for subsequent years when they actually pay tax.
Okay. So if someone is a startup and is thinking they want to do this, but they know they're not yet profitable,
they can carry them forward. Yeah,
it's still a good benefit that they can apply and make the most of it later.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's very good.
Exactly. Now, the employee can also benefit from these tax rebates because if they choose to also contribute into the occupational scheme, they will receive a 25% tax rebate. A concern that we get asked about is what happens if I leave my job, or what happens if the employee leaves the company. Now, basically, the way the legislation was made, it made it very easy for such pension plans to be portable. They are extremely and very easily portable. So what one can do is they can either transfer it to their new employer's scheme if they have one, mm-hmm. or else they can open up a personal pension plan and transfer it to their personal plan.
Okay.
They can also choose to leave it idle. But so obviously your employer is not going to contribute
anymore
if exactly. you leave the company.
Exactly. So you can even port it into the personal one?
Yes.
So I shouldn't have any fear that maybe as an employee, my employer decides to stop the scheme, that I have basically lost my pension, let's call it that.
You will never lose what was saved into a pension plan. The only, this is the only, or one of the few, actually, restrictions of these schemes is that since they fall under the government qualifying scheme, you can only start withdrawing from your pension pot at age 61. So whatever you put in, you cannot withdraw before age 61. Obviously, there are some provisions in the law, like if you had to pass away or in case of serious sickness, which allows you to access your pot. But in normal circumstances, you can start taking the benefits at age 61.
Which I think makes sense if the whole point is that it's for a pension.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you just take the pot early and the pension's not there when you really need it.
Exactly.
So,
the beauty of it all is okay, I know we're talking about occupational pensions now, and the company is most companies would contribute into the scheme, but saving just a little from your salary, say I don't know, 2% of your, just to throw a number, 2-3% of your salary per month into something which will also grow, because the money would be invested, the money would be invested and compounded tax free.
Okay.
So the snowball effect, the growth is compounded. So by saving a little, when you come to retire, you would obviously you would reap the benefits of doing that. And the earlier you start, the bigger the pot will grow.
So you obviously mentioned interest and compounding. Firstly, maybe for someone who maybe is thinking, ah yes, but I put 100 euros in my bank account or in my Revolut, I'm saving in my Revolut. You hear this.
Which is good. What's
the difference, and why would a pension plan, if it is for long-term saving, not for, you know, my next big purchase, would it make more sense?
As I mentioned earlier, I feel that we need to educate. And this is one thing that I always discuss with all my customers. Saving. There is a really smart way of saving. In order to across your life, you find whatever you saved there. So basically, it's not wise to put all your savings into a pension plan. Far from it. Why? Because one, there is the restriction that before age 61, you cannot access the funds. So if just to keep it simple, if I am saving 100 euro per month, I would put a portion of that into a pension plan, whereby I'd be saving for my retirement plan, my retirement, and also earning the tax rebate. Okay, and also the money would be invested in a way where I cannot touch it. It would be invested in the markets. It would be drip investing, and tax free, and the returns are tax free, and there would be. They would benefit from the compounding effect of it all. And they would find the money there once they retire. But then obviously, one would have short-term goals, medium-term goals, and long-term goals. The long-term would be retirement. But obviously then you need to also be mindful of what I need in the short-term and what I need in the medium-term. By doing that, obviously you would be managing your finances much better than if you just throw 100 euro per month into a savings account, which yields nothing. You would actually be losing money because of inflation.
At the moment, for sure.
Yes.
The interest rate is much lower than inflation is, so you want to at least try to get it at par. Ideally, it needs to be exceeding that.
Exactly. So I mean, last year's figures were very high, 6-8%, kind of 6%, around 6. And Malta, it was around 6 point something.
And yeah, so it's obviously with traditional fees still being low at banks, that gets eroded very, very quickly.
Exactly.
No, so obviously, as a bank, you mentioned that you work at APS Bank. Maybe as a bank, what was the driver to kind of pivot or start offering? Not because obviously it's still a bank, but to start offering occupational pensions.
All right, okay. So basically, when the bank first started back in 1910, which makes us the oldest Maltese bank in existence, the main aim, the main objective of the bank was to help people save.
Okay.
Which is obviously in line with pensions. For retirement. Now, the bank takes sustainability and social development very seriously. And pensions are a way of promoting sustainability and social development.
Exactly, because it's basically taking care of our country, our people for tomorrow, and the same way it's obviously driving other things in the green space as well. So
exactly, in fact, mentioning the green space, when investing in a pension plan, one would also have the option to invest in ESG strategies.
Okay.
Which are the ethical strategies, which are environmental, social, governance, which is a new area in the investment world, whereby basically they are being pushed to safeguard our future when it comes to the environment, global warming, gender equality, good governance, etc., etc.
So in essence, if I was to select one of these plans, I'm not only saving for my pension, I'm also creating the world I possibly want tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. Because obviously, the more funds going towards these ESG investments, the more governments are able to, and companies as well, are able to finance the transition that needs to be done in order to safeguard the planet.
It's a very interesting aspect, because I think most people don't, at least when I'm thinking of a pension plan, I don't think that I can create impact, because maybe myself alone cannot, but collectively you create impact, and it's a subconscious impact. So it's important that you are aware that you can make a choice. It's a choice of where to put it.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, obviously, when you're thinking of a pension plan, be it if you're a company wanting to set up an occupational scheme, or if you're a person, if you're an individual wanting to start up a personal one, obviously, you will not think about the ESG concept, but us as a bank, since we promote sustainability and social development, and which is in the core of our values, we obviously came up with a couple of ESG strategies as well, which customers can choose to invest in.
That's very good. I think a lot of the younger generation are possibly conscious of that as well. So I think that plays possibly a big role, even when you are. I feel if I had to tell my team, listen, we're doing this and it's also creating this other impact, I think that creates more sense of belonging, more value, and more sense of community. So this is not just me saving for my pension anymore. It's become something more.
In fact, as I said, that this is an added, it adds value to the whole concept of
exactly. You're pensions. Not doing good. You don't do it because of it, but
yeah,
it kind of makes it more attractive for
exactly,
for someone.
Exactly.
No, very good. So we mentioned total enrollment, that it might be coming up at some point in Malta. We don't know when. If I was a business today and maybe I'm thinking, yes, this will increase my costs, right? What do I need to start thinking or planning maybe between now and when this happens, so I am ready and prepared, and maybe if I take that
before talking about costs, I'd like to mention the cost of losing and retraining an employee.
That's very important, I think.
And I'm mentioning it for a reason. Until auto enrollment comes into play here in Malta, if it ever does, but I'm sure it will, companies have the opportunity to become employers of choice by introducing these schemes to differentiate them from their competitors. You know, and that will... Pensions are not the silver bullet, all right? To counter the challenges of the HR challenges today, all right, the shortage of staff and talent, but it can help, it can enhance a company's standing. When this is human nature, if a company is offering better conditions than others, you are more likely to attract the best talent and also to retain them. So when you talk of costs,
you need to factor in
the opportunity cost as well. Yes. And this is why I started with it. Now, but when it comes to costs, obviously, introducing a scheme, an occupational pension scheme, might add costs, and I will say I will explain why. Because the company does not have to contribute anything.
Okay.
So a company can open up the scheme, okay, make it available to its employees. It will be giving the employees access to the tax rebates. It will giving actually easy access because they would not even need to open any bank accounts or no due diligence or anything. And it can also give the company's opportunity that, say, for example, if it pays a bonus, it can say, okay, if I'm paying, I don't know, a 1,000 euro bonus, I can pay 500 euro onto their pension scheme. And it would cost me 25% less. Hmm. So I'm giving an extreme because most companies starting an occupational scheme would contribute themselves as well to the employees' pension pot. But currently, that is an option that the companies are not required to contribute.
They're basically opening up a potential tax rebate for employees which are conscious of their situation.
Exactly.
That if they do not do, the employees lose completely, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because obviously I come across many different scenarios. Companies who employ a lot of foreign workers. And sometimes foreigners find it a bit hard to open up a relationship, a banking relationship, a bank account with local banks. So they would opt for example, the Revolut or some other online bank. Many of these foreign workers would probably come from countries where there is auto-enrollment, and they would be used to having saving up for their pension. If they're finding difficulty to open up a banking relationship, they cannot open a personal pension plan. But through an occupational plan, okay, obviously it makes it possible for them to actually save for their pension.
Okay, no, that is very interesting. Now, we mentioned foreigners as well. So if someone then leaves the country, how easy is it to access?
So within the EU, it's very easy to transfer the pot to a government qualifying scheme
in a particular country,
in the EU and in the UK. It's doable. When it comes to third country nationals, it gets a bit more complicated, but what they would be able to do is that they can leave the pot here and they can access it at age 61.
So okay, so even if they left it here, they still have saved for their future.
The money would keep being invested as well.
Okay, so you're still getting the compound effect, obviously to a more limited effect because you're not putting anything new inside.
Exactly.
So even if, let's say I employ largely third country nationals and I want to say, you know what, we actually will take care of your future when you retire. Because obviously they will not qualify if they don't spend 12 years here for the Maltese pension. And that is practically lost.
Exactly.
So here we're saying in that scenario, we're actually covering you with this as well. So if you're coming here because you want to, you know, feed your children today, you can actually feed them tomorrow with access to this pot.
Exactly. Now going back to your initial question, cost. So basically, as things stand without the auto-enrollment in place, companies have the option to custom make the scheme as they please. They do not have to offer it to all the employees either. They can say, for example, you know, we want to reward loyalty, for example. We would start paying into an employee's pension pot once they would have been employed with us, I don't know, after two years, for example, 5 years, and that will give another incentive to the employee to remain loyal and stay with the company. I don't know, they can choose to offer it to a cohort of their employees, you know, senior management, for example, or, I don't know, just to key employees or to a particular few. So basically what I mean to say is that even though there are costs associated to it, even though it's low cost as well, a company now can choose what that cost would be as well.
And so they can structure it the way they want, and in reality they would be a step ahead. Because if they're contributing something today and they need to contribute a fixed amount tomorrow, the gap is even smaller.
Yes, exactly. But what I will repeat again and stress, it is very important to factor in the cost of losing your key employees, the cost of not attracting the right employees, etc., etc.
No, so the benefit side is definitely bigger. But at the same time, when you know it's going to come at least eventually, it's much easier to make a decision of starting, yes. not leaving it to the last minute.
I mean, yeah, the administration of it all is very simple. But having it in place beforehand will obviously make the process much easier, because all you would need to do is add the employees who are not in the scheme to the Excel sheet, add the amount that you will be contributing, and it's good to go.
No, exactly. That makes it.
It's a 10-15 minute process per month,
which is amazing, and hopefully, eventually, with the right systems, that even goes away by being done automatically.
Exactly.
That's very good. So, anyone that's maybe watching or listening today's podcast and wants to learn more,
okay,
what's their next step?
So basically, what I would recommend is that they reach out to us. They can either send an email on pensions@apsbank.com.mt. They can visit our website and also have a look at our pensions section. But most of all, I would encourage any company or any individual to reach out and would explain the whole concept.
Okay, because I think the most important probably part of that explaining is like, this is what your pension would be like and how you top it up, because it's how do you see yourself living in the future, as you were saying earlier.
The aim of it all is that one maintains as closely as possible one's lifestyle when they retire, because obviously when you're working you have a particular income, which once you retire, unless you're prepared financially for retirement, you will not have.
No, exactly. So if you're not prepared, the money that's currently flowing will suddenly stop. I think this is probably one of the challenges of people who are potentially asking to keep working for longer when they're finished. So it's yes, maybe there's a question of I like to work,
yeah,
but there's also a question of my money isn't going to last.
Exactly.
I don't know if there's any other elements that you wanted to cover today, Darren.
No, we covered most of the things that have to do with occupational pensions. Obviously, pensions per se are obviously there's much more to discuss, but yes, when it comes to occupational pensions, I think we covered most of the.
So, Darren, to start wrapping up, maybe in today's episode, if someone had to maybe listen to this podcast, what's the one thing they should take home and remember after this whole session, if they can't remember any more than one?
Okay, so when it comes to employees or individuals, One thing I would tell them is that the best time to start saving for your pension is now. It is not tomorrow, it's now. Because the earlier you start, the more you stand to benefit. Because of the
compound effect.
Exactly. When it comes to companies, the one thing I would keep in mind is that the cost associated to not having the right employees, and an occupational pension plan is, as I said before, is not the magic bullet, but it is one benefit together with other benefits which could help a company become the employer of choice.
No, that's a very good way to end. So an occupational pension to add something to become the employer of choice for employees. Darren, thank you a lot for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for the audience for tuning in for another episode of Your People First. Until next time, Jonathan. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you're looking to put your people first through HR and payroll software, visit www.buddy.hr to learn more.